Welcome to the third sermon in our sermon series entitled, Why the 21st Century Needs Christianity. Today's sermon title, Business and Christianity. Open your Bible to Romans 13, verses 8 through 14, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the God who teaches us to work, and then you promise to bless the work of our hands. Please show us how we can influence the workplace in the 21st century. Teach us principles that bring your blessing on our work and grant us your favor. As we live out our faith in effective ways in the workplace, may people around us see Christ in a new way and give you a second chance in their life. In Christ's name, amen. We looked at science and Christianity. We looked at justice and Christianity. And today I want to look at business and Christianity. So from time to time, I hear people say, where I work, you really can't live out your faith. You're not allowed because it doesn't work. Chick-fil-A is one of the most successful restaurant chains in America. They have 1,500 locations in 39 states. And they say without apology that they have a Christian approach to business. In fact, you can't buy a Chick-fil-A sandwich on Sunday. You know what they say? Everybody needs a day off. We close the company down. Nobody works on Sunday. You have a family that needs you. You have rest. You might want to worship. Stay home. They say, can't you run a shift? Well, what if somebody can't come in and then the person who wants to have the day off has to get called in? Have that ever happened to you? They say, we are not open on Sunday. We can make a good living. We can provide for our families. We can have a profit margin and we don't have to be open on Sunday. But they do a second thing. There used to be a young man who attended our church who his first job was working at Chick-fil-A. Whatever they hired teenagers to do, he did. Well, he was a hardworking kid, and he always showed up at work, and he wasn't a problem, so they promoted him. And then he got into a program that was specifically designed for young people just like him, and Chick-fil-A helped him buy a franchise. He couldn't have bought it without their program, and much of it is a gift to him, because they have this idea that if we reinvest in the very best people, it's good for them and it's good for our company. Church, you can have a Christian approach to business in the 21st century. But how we do it is of major importance. You can't go to work and act like a TV televangelist. That's not going to work. But Paul teaches us an approach that will work. He says to the church in Corinth, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. I see three ways that Christianity can help any place you work. The first thing is, we need to ask a question beyond, is it legal? And we need to ask, does it make life better? In your workplace, hopefully there is somebody's paying attention to, is it legal? But in your workplace, is anybody paying attention to, does it make life better? Our culture, the culture of our organization, does it make life better for the people who work here? Our attitude toward customers, does it make life better for people who do business with us? Our community, the way we do business, does it make our community a better place to live in? See, that is a perspective that you can bring to work, and you're living out your faith by doing it. There's a second standard. Beyond is it legal, does it develop better people in a better community? All things are lawful, but not all things build up. The way we do business, does it make the world a better place? And the third thing he says is, we could bring this idea of our business plan has to have a win-win attitude. Don't just seek what's good for you, but what's good for your neighbor. I can illustrate this for you. Recently, Larry Merlo, the CEO of CVS drugstores, made the decision we're not selling any more tobacco in our stores. It cost his company an annual profit of $2 billion. $2 billion. But listen to what he said. Cigarettes have no place in an environment where health care is being delivered. You know what he said? We will recover this profit, but we're about something more than our profit margin. How can we say we are about health care and sell cigarettes in our store? You see what he's saying? He's saying we can do business and we can succeed in business, and we can look out for the good of people who do business with us, right? Why do these principles work? Because business is built on trust. All business is built on trust. Have you ever done business with somebody you found out wasn't trustworthy? The next time you needed something in their group, you didn't do business with them, right? All business is built on trust. And when you are going to work and saying, are we doing this in the way that is just good for us, or is this good for other people? Are we doing it in this a way that the people who work here, they have a better quality of life? Or are we just looking out for our own profit margins and how much more quickly we'll be able to retire if we cut these corners? Church? And then Paul gives this strange example from the world he lived in. He said, eat what is ever sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat what is ever set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I don't mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? All right. Now this is kind of an odd point. If all this is about is whether you can eat meat that was sacrificed to idols, then it has no meaning in the 21st century. Because the last time I looked around, I couldn't find a place that was still killing goats and slinging blood on the altar of Zeus. All right. So this is not the principle. This is an illustration of the principle. Can you get that? This is not a teaching about where you can buy your next filet mignon. This is a teaching about how do you live in a very diverse world and still practice your faith. So from this paragraph, I find five business principles. Let's look at them together. One, eat what is ever sold in the meat market without raising questions on the ground of conscience. This principle is check your hypersensitivity. You don't have to be offended about everything, right? We live in the age of I'm offended. Everything offends somebody. Am I right? All these subgroups are always offended about something. And if you're that kind of person, you lose all influence. If we're going to be influential in the workplace, we have to check our sensitivity. When I was working my way through college, I worked at a feed mill, and there were other kids at the same college who worked there, and they acted like they had never heard anybody swear before. So if somebody swore, they would just get... they'd get all offended and people looked at them like kooks, right? And they were. I thought they were kooky. All right, if you're going to be influential in the workplace, then you have to check your hypersensitivity. You can't be the person who is forever offended for religious reasons, because people are going to start looking at you and going, cuckoo, cuckoo, right? I'm not saying it doesn't bother you, but I'm saying, all right, we're grown-up men and women. It's not like your sister stole your color crayon, right? The second principle. We are stewards of the earth that belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All right, we have to walk a middle path on this also. I believe in taking care of the earth. I want to drink clean water and breathe clean air. Can I have one amen? I don't want my food polluted with all kinds of who knows what, right? I want to live in a clean world. Okay, stop throwing garbage out of your window. What's wrong with you? The earth is the Lord's. He doesn't want it to be a junk pile. Okay. Now I have to say, we also don't want to be these people who go over the deep end on the other side. Like we're all going to choke to death and we're all going to suffocate in the next 5 years. Church, I mean, really, can't we take a sane approach? And can't we bring a sane approach to the workplace? Wouldn't it be nice if Christianity was on the cutting edge of saying, we can keep a clean place to work. We can make a profit and not have to pollute the earth. Church? I like when I ride the rapid transit downtown, I see little signs that companies come out there and clean up certain parts of it. Have you seen that when you're riding the rapid transit? No? Oh, I forgot you don't ride the rapid transit. All right. The company makes it part of their policy that we're going to volunteer and we're going to go clean up a certain area. When your company does that, you should go with them. You're living out your faith in the workplace, right? You should take a little time and say, I'm going to cooperate with my company and we're going to make the earth a little bit cleaner than what it is. All right, one more thing and I'll move on. I think we need to deal with the clean earth from a very practical way. I I've read a bunch of stuff about climate change. Church, if climates didn't change, we wouldn't be here today. Because some time ago, this was under about 20 feet of ice. I'm kind of happy that there was a little warming trend, aren't you? I'd rather not live, be preaching to you in an igloo. All right. I'm not sure about I'm not sure about all of the science and what can possibly be done. But here's something I do know. The earth, the ocean is full of plastic, and we can fix that. I read an article this week that they dissected a whale who died. It had 18 pounds of plastic in its stomach. Church, that's something we could do something about. You could volunteer, and you could clean up, you could be part of a group that cleans up part of the lake or a river. Or you could donate to an organization. There's actually an organization out there that takes boats out into the ocean with nets, and they're taking plastic out of the water. See, I think that's something that Christians could fully support, and it's something that Christians and business could do together, and we could actually make the world a better place. The third business principle. Be aware that you're not the only one with a directive conscience. Christianity believes in free speech. So, Paul says, if you get invited to someone's house and they set meat before you, just eat whatever it is. Don't ask, was this sacrificed to an idol? But if someone says, this was sacrificed to an idol, then be sensitive to their conscience. Now let's talk about this principle. This principle is, in the workplace, there are going to be people who have values that are different than your values. They're going to have opinions that are different than your opinions. They're going to care about things that are very different than what you care about. And if you're going to have influence, you have to pay attention to what they care about and not just what you care about. Now, I'm going to tell you an ugly story about myself on this matter. A person that I really care about said to me not long ago that they had become sensitive about how some companies raise chickens that we end up buying at the grocery store. And being the sensitive guy that I am, I said, I've never tasted the difference between a happy chicken and a miserable chicken. I'm so sensitive. Well, I saw on this person's face that they didn't think that was very funny. And I wish I could take it back. Okay. This is a perfect example. I've never thought twice about where a chicken grew up. I just know fried chicken is about as good as it gets. Huh? All right. So because I'm not sensitive about that, doesn't mean that I shouldn't at least have a kind attitude towards somebody who is. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have more influence if we're willing to at least consider that they have strong feelings about that, right? If I'm blowing it off, and I'm acting like, you gotta be kidding me. What kind of joker are you? I'm gonna lose all my influence with them. Church, in the workplace, we will be more influential if we'll at least be aware that there are good people who have different values and different opinions than we do. And we can work together in a cooperative way, even if we don't agree on how chickens are raised. Church? Or no? Four. Awareness of diversity doesn't mean I have to surrender my own values. Verse 29, I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? All right, this is important. I'm gonna pay attention, I'm gonna listen, and I'm gonna do my best to understand what's important to them. But that doesn't mean I have to agree with them. I'm allowed to maintain my own conscience and my own understanding about what's right in life. Do you get this? All right, here's what's happening in our culture. We have developed this polarization where everybody thinks they're right, and it makes it appropriate for them to despise and reject people who don't agree with them. Do you recognize this is where our culture is going? All right, Christianity can have a giant influence by simply saying we can work together and we can accomplish great things even if we don't agree about everything. I respect your right to have these opinions, but I'm not surrendering what I think is right. Are you with me, church? I believe that is respectable. I believe people want to hang around with people like that. I believe you'd have influence if you were like that. Five, maintain a grateful attitude at work. If I partake with thanksgiving, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? Every one of you, well, that may be too much, many of you, most of you, work with people who all they do is grumble all day long. My job. These idiots I work for. You don't know the losers I work with. Church, do you know those kind of people? Don't be one! Don't be one. You lose influence in the workplace. I was a teacher once. And when I was a teacher, the teachers had to eat in the cafeteria with the students. So the teachers all sat at a table and we ate. I was the only one there who liked my job. They all acted like we were working in coal mines. It got so bad, I said, I can't eat my lunch with you people. When I come in here, I'm happy with my job. By the time I spend a half hour with you, I feel like quitting. Right? All right. I believe something healthy happens in a workplace when people have a sense of gratefulness about what they're doing. They have a sense of gratitude that they get to have a job like this. The job you hate, listen, somebody may love to have that job. Church? All right. Plus, in the long run, it gives you more influence. Who are you going to listen to at work? Somebody who is miserable all the time or somebody who's enjoying life? Who do you want to work with? The person who complains from the minute they get there to the minute they leave. I knew a guy, he would get off work on Friday, and he would already start going, oh, brother, I have to go back to work Monday morning. Huh? Hey, this is America. Go get a job you like. So, I find five principles that help me live out my faith in the workplace in a way that no HR department is going to scold me for. Let's look at them. One, Check your hypersensitivity. I can be a Christian and live in a pagan world without being appalled all the time. You don't have to be appalled all the time. 2, the earth is the Lord's, and living out my faith requires me to care. In the workplace, you care about what happens to the waste products and the garbage. 3, be aware that people that disagree with you have a conscience too. And you don't have to agree with them, but you do have to treat them in the kind of way that working together still works. And the 2 of you, or the 3 of you, or the 5 of you can do good work together. 4, understanding other people doesn't mean you have to agree with them. You don't have to agree with them. You have to learn how to work together well. 5, have a grateful attitude at work. All right, I got to go. I have to say this. Please have an open mind. You don't have to agree with me, but have an open mind. I am aware that the ideal of socialism is becoming more popular in America. I'd like to say the trouble with socialism is it devalues the individual conscience and it makes the collective tyrannical. Do you get this? In a socialistic economy, you don't matter as an individual. You stop mattering as an individual. You're only part of the collective. And this is why socialism hasn't worked anywhere in the world. Because it does just the opposite of what I'm teaching. The individual is of no importance at all. The group is the only thing that is important. So if the individual gets taken advantage of, that's just fine because it's good for the group. If the individual gets ignored, that's fine because it's good for the group. And I'm saying it is a lot easier for us to live out our faith in a free economy than it would be to live out our faith in a socialistic economy. I'm not talking about what political candidate that you might favor or not favor. Please don't listen to hear me saying that. This is not about the election next year. It's about people being reminded that the church works better in some environments than it does in others. And wherever socialism prevails, the church is always suppressed. Church, don't take my word for it. Look around the world. Wherever socialism prevails, the church is suppressed. Please don't send me an angry email. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. All right. Here's the big principle. Your work is your divine calling. This is my divine calling. I work here 5 days a week. I turned 65. I stopped working 6 days a week. I work here 5 days a week. All right. Yes, I'm getting lazy. You can send me an email. All right. I want you to see your job as your divine vocation. When you go to work to do more than earn a paycheck. You go to work to glorify God. You represent God in the workplace. you may be the only sane Christian that some people ever meet. Church? And if you can see yourself as I'm called by God to represent him in the workplace, I believe you'll work in a different way, you will be more effective, and you'll be more valuable to the company you work for, and you'll have more influence. Christianity has more influence in the workplace when we understand diversity. Listen to what Paul says. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or the church of God. These three represent different approaches to life. The Jews are very traditionalist. When Paul said the Jews, he said the people who live a very traditional approach to life. If you have to work with them, then try to understand how their life works. Somebody who is very, very, very traditional, they aren't really open to a lot of change. So if you're going to change something, you have to think, this person is very traditional. How can we help them make this change? Church? You just can't say, well, they're just going to have to get over it. Well, you can, but you won't be influential. You won't be effective. Do you see what Paul is saying? And then he says the Greeks. The Greeks are the rationalists. All they want to know, is it reasonable? They don't care about tradition. They don't care about all these other things. That you have to show them that it's reasonable. And then there is the Church of God, the Christians, and we're trying to, and we're really trying to be the people who God can use in a profound way to make the place a better place. Church, there shouldn't be anybody in your workplace who wants your workplace to be a great place more than you do. Do you hear me? All right, so Paul says you'll have more influence if you'll start trying to understand, okay, I know this person's approach to life. They're very traditional. And I'm going to help them. I'm going to help them in the workplace and I'm going to figure out ways that their tradition helps them to do what we want to do instead of hinders them from doing what we want to do. Okay, these people are very reasonable. There has to be a solid reason why we're doing this. Ah, these people are Christians. They're going to have a good attitude. They're going to figure out how to work together. We're going to be more productive. We gain influence through understanding. But sometimes we have to have influence by being countercultural. I believe I've told you this story before. When I was working my way through college, I worked a place that had the night shift. And at the night shift, what would happen is people would get their work done, and then one person would stay and punch everybody else's card out. And people would go home 2 hours early. And then it would be their night, and they would stay. So they told me how it worked, and I said, yeah, I'll never ask you to punch my card out, but I'm never punching your card out. I'm not leaving 2 hours early. It feels like stealing to me. Okay. I didn't run to the supervisor and say, oh, do you know what the... Look, it's his job, not my job, to tattle on people. But guess what? I didn't leave 2 hours early. And do you think it made me popular with the people I worked with? Oh, but let me ask you this. Do you think it made me trustworthy? Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes to be influential, we have to be countercultural. And we can be countercultural without being big babies. Look, if your company is pouring toxins down the drain, you ought to say something. If somebody steals a roll of toilet paper from the workplace, I mean, really, you got to run to the boss on that? Church? What I'm trying to say is we can be profoundly influential, but it's based on two things: understanding of others and a willingness to know what we believe in profoundly, and we won't compromise. Christianity asks business to function at a higher level than just personal advantage. I believe profit margins are important. And I believe you ought to care that your company makes money. But I believe for your company to make money and have good profit margins, employees have to care about each other. Right? Management has to care about employees. Employees have to care about management. You think it's so easy managing a place? You ought to give it a try. I carry this church in the pit of my stomach 7 days a week. Church. I care about the people I work with. I want them to enjoy working here. We have a pretty good track record about how long people stay here. Church. I believe it's part of my Christian responsibility to care about the people I work with. It makes Christ look good. I believe it's part of my Christian responsibility to care for customers. I answer every email I get. Okay, I'm going to take that back. I don't answer spam and that nonsense. Have you ever had customer service that made you want to shoot them? Like, no matter what you said, they just kept reading from the script. On the other end, have you ever had customer service that you said, wow, that is incredible. I expected it to be twice as bad as that. Do you see what I'm saying? Customer service matters. The way you treat the people you work with matters. The way you treat your customers matters. The community you function in matters. And the church can be influential in the 21st century if we start paying attention and we start living out our faith in the workplace. We can be influential. All right. And then on top of that, Paul ends this whole thing by saying, and if you do this right, people around you are going to want to be Christians. Did you hear what Paul said? I do all of this because it makes it easier for people to be saved. I've met people in this church who came here because somebody they worked with invited them and they liked the person they worked with. Do you hear that? They trusted the person they worked with enough to risk coming to a church they didn't know anybody in. That's pretty profound if you ask me. But Paul said, if we live out our faith in the workplace, that would be a more and more common thing. People would give Christ a second chance because they see the quality of the person that he's helping you to become. Church, I'm going to close with this. On top of that, all this makes you the kind of person that companies love to have. You get it? It makes you a valuable contributor to your company. You're not at the top of how do we get rid of this person legally. You are at the top of the list of how do we keep this person because they make this place the kind of place we want it to be. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we could have faith that would make us influential in the workplace. I pray that we would develop the kind of behaviors that make our workplace a better place, that the people we work with are glad we work with them. The people we work for are happy that we work for them. I pray that we'd live out our faith in the kind of way that people who are far from you might say, maybe, maybe I should give Christ another chance in my life. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.